Hello and welcome to another episode of the Big Footy Podcast Off-Season Extra. I'm talking today to James Moore, who is an AFL Development Officer in Indonesia. Good afternoon, James.
Hi, Jason. Nice to be here.
Yes, it is nice to be here, isn't it?
Yep. It's lovely. It's nice to be actually sitting down somewhere, not driving, stuck in traffic for 2 hours, trying to get 10 kilometres down the road.
I imagine it would be. Perhaps we can start... if you can tell us how you got involved in AFL in Indonesia.
I finished studying last year. I'm officially qualified as a teacher in Indonesian studies. I've been sort of studying Indonesia and the language for quite a long time, and I finished my studies last year and was looking for some opportunities, as that Indonesian teaching is not a big at the moment in Australia. And a friend of mine had been through the AAD program, which is a volunteer program in Australia that sends young Australians around the globe to run programs and help with development. And he sent me to their website, and I saw AFL Development Officer in Jakarta. And I couldn't think of two better combinations of the things that I loved, which was footy and Indonesian, or Indonesia. And I just applied for it, and a few months later I had an interview, and now 6 months later I've sort of been settling in and getting involved, and it's been great.
Now, a lot of your work is done with the Jakarta Bintangs Club, isn't it?
Yes, they are officially my employers. I work for the Jakarta Bintangs. So they're the club based in Jakarta. They're the only club in Jakarta, Everything that I do is based off the program that they've set up over the last few years.
Okay, and how many other teams are there in Indonesia?
There's currently 3 teams that are mostly that expats play for. There's the Borneo Bears, the Jakarta Bintangs, and the Bali Geckos. They're the 3 teams in Indonesia.
Okay, now... I was talking to AFL Asia a couple of weeks ago, to Phil Johns there, and he was saying that there's a team called the Garudas. Is that the national side?
That's the national side. So we've got the development program is solely focused on Indonesian nationals.
Yep.
So we run training clinics at schools, at orphanages, and another offshoot of that is we've been slowly putting together the national team to play in IC14 next year. So the Indonesia Garudas is the national team.
Okay. So how many players are there then in Indonesia? To the best of your knowledge, I guess.
Best of my knowledge? It's quite a tough question. I know there's combined... The Bintangs come and go because obviously expats sort of backwards and forwards, and same with Borneo and Bali. So the 3 teams probably can pull anywhere between 20 to 45, depending who they're playing and where they're playing. The Garudas themselves, at that level, that could make it into the squad, I would suggest. But we also have a lot of younger players that are playing in a few of the smaller teams. So playing football regularly, I would probably guesstimate about 50, 60 in the 3 sort of areas.
Okay.
But we have kids playing at schools that we go run clinics, so we have hundreds of kids playing, thousands of kids playing every year.
Okay. So there's a large number of expats in that 60 players, though, is there, or is that 60 Indonesians?
For the Indonesian Garudas team, we're currently putting together a list of the squad that we're going to try and put together to take to IC14, and we're looking like we're pulling from a pool of about 50 Indonesian players.
Oh, okay.
And that's also been quite generous to a lot of the players, so there's probably a good 25 to 30 that are really in contention, and there's a few younger guys that, with a bit of growth and a bit of development, could be bolts from the blue this time next year.
Okay, now, the Wikipedia page for this, and part of the reason I'm doing this is because Wikipedia pages are frequently out of date now, but refers to the Jakarta Bulldogs. Do they no longer exist, or...?
As far as I'm aware, that they don't exist. I have actually looked at the Wikipedia page. I was unaware that there was one.
It's part of the overall AFL, Australian Football in Asia page, but...
The Jakarta Bulldogs is... I don't think they've been in existence for a while. I think they were one of the first young teams that we had when the first volunteer started the program, and there was quite a quick upsell. I'm pretty sure it was one of the international schools teams.
Okay.
But I'm not quite sure whether that was Indonesia.
The British International School of Jakarta, apparently.
Okay, yep, that makes sense.
So the best of your knowledge, they no longer exist.
No, when we have our competitions, there's usually four teams that play. There's the Jakarta Garudas, the Chelungsi Bombers, the Bogor Tigers, and then there's some, often a mishmash of sort of the over extra players from a few other areas.
Okay. Well, this is the kind of information I'm trying to get at,
because
there's just a lot of out-of-date information out there, and no one really knows what's going on.
We're currently revamping the website. We've just also purchased the domain name for AFL Indonesia, so all that's starting to come together again. So hopefully all this information from our end will be up-to-date and accurate and out there for everyone over the next few weeks.
That's all you can ask for. Now, tell us a bit about the junior program that you're running.
Okay, so what I do most days is I head out to schools or orphanages or youth groups or anything else that shows interest in AFL, and we will run an introductory clinic, so we will explain the game. We've got videos to show. We've got we do little skills games, and just try and get some interest in the game. So we're usually there at schools for about an hour and a bit, and the first sort of time is just to get the kids to meet the game. Essentially, like, a lot of the kids sort of look at the ball and go, "Oh, we're going to play rugby," and it's like, "No, we're not playing rugby. Oh, American football. No, we're not playing American football. It's Australian football." So it's still, there's not a lot of knowledge about the game over here. So our first point is we're getting out there, getting the word spread, and trying to get as many young kids to meet the game, to hold a ball, to try and handball it, to try and kick it for the very first time. And out of that, hopefully we go repeat visits. We try and go back to a school at least 3 to 6 times. And hopefully from that we'll get a few kids coming to one of our weekly training sessions that we hold. Aside from that, we hold a couple of regular training sessions in a couple of our sort of hub areas. One's out in Bogor, which is a couple of hours out of Jakarta. There's about 15 to 20 kids there that have been playing for a few years, and it's the school that we've been going to for a few years. We've got another one out at Mama Sayang, which is an orphanage in Chelungsi, which is about an hour and a half out of Jakarta, which has anywhere between 20 to 40 kids for a weekly training session. And we've been going there for a long time, and most of our really gun players have come out of Mama Sayang. And so hopefully from that, and then on Thursday nights we have the Jakarta Bintangs training. So there will be the expats training, a few of the older kids that are good enough will be training with them as well. And then on the side, me and my counterpart, Boy Pasaribu, who's fantastic, this program would really not run without him. We have training for the younger kids, sort of getting them up so that they can join the expats and the older boys that have been playing for a few years.
Okay, that's a pretty good explanation. Are there any difficulties in arranging like matches, like getting fields or ovals? Are you playing on rectangles out of necessity?
Most of our training, our sort of put together quick games, our stuff at schools are all done on either soccer fields or basketball courts. There is a real lack of AFL-sized ovals in Jakarta. We've got one we share with Jakarta Cricket out in Chibubur, which is about an hour and a bit away, as you're starting to realise that everything's quite a journey around here. But that's often booked, so we have to book everything in advance. So we have monthly competitions, so I've booked that until May next year. So once a month, We try and get all the kids together. We break them up. A lot of them, we try and keep the same teams, just depending on numbers. Now, because we're moving towards IC14, we're looking to have, like, full 18-a-side teams, Indonesian Garudas A versus Indonesian Garudas B, kind of stuff, rather than sort of four smaller round-robin games between the kids. It is quite tough finding facilities. It's really tough finding equipment. Indonesian import laws are making it really hard for us to get footballs. Like, at the moment, I'm working with about 10 to 12 Auskick balls, handball target that I reckon we may have had since 2009, which I've just had to put a new frame on. We've got a handful of leather balls that have been brought over, and rubber balls, so synthetic ones for the rain, which is torrential here. We've got about 12 of those. So a lot of it is equipment and finding the space. So, like, for example, if we get too many kids on a Thursday night, all of a sudden it gets a bit awkward training, because the Bintangs need to train because they have competitions and they have games against other cities. So you sort of have to often relegate the kids to the side, or combine them with the big group, then you've all of a sudden got 60 people running around on a hockey field, and it just gets too cramped. So it's finding a place that's suitable for everyone. Another major issue we're having at the moment is actually getting into schools. We're having a bit of hesitancy and a bit of difficulty due to... there's a thing called CONI here, which is the committee, the Indonesian Sports Committee, which is sort of like the National Committee of Sports, and AFL isn't currently recognised as a national sport. So a lot of schools are a bit reluctant, because there's a lot of light for officialdom over here.
Yep.
So they kind of want a letter saying we're a part of the official national sports or something like that. So a lot of schools will just flat out say no. And if you've ever been to Indonesia, you know that it just doesn't work. You email someone, they email back, you're there next week. It's you email someone again, they say, cool. You email them again, wondering what's going on. 4 months down the line, you'll get a yes or a no. So it just gets a bit frustrating sometimes when you're itching to get out there and get the game out to kids, but it's just can get a little, a lot of things to jump over to get it to work properly.
You're talking about import problems and not having enough footballs and stuff. Why is that?
Well, we rely heavily on the charity and the time of expats to actually buy footballs in Australia and bring them over for us, because you can't buy footballs in Indonesia, and importing them is just off the table. It's just... Indonesia's import laws are just diabolical, and if you get some shipped over, there's a good chance they could be in customs for 6 months, and you've got to pay twice what you paid for the balls in Australia to get them out of customs. So supposedly we tried it once a few years ago, and it was just a disaster, and it wasn't worse, just way too expensive and just way too difficult. So now we just rely on the Bintang players that going back to Australia to bring us back a few balls here and there, and that we can put into the program.
So, like, would it affect them if they were, like, mailed over, like, one at a time?
Don't know if we've ever tried that. That sort of the costs for that could escalate depending on how much it is at the Australian end. And what would happen when it actually arrived in Indonesia, whether or not they would take it as a suspicious package or lock it up into customs, or who knows. But that also, post over here can be anywhere from spend a week in transit to 3-4 months in transit.
Interesting. There goes my plan to send you a crap load of synthetic footballs.
Yeah, well...
one by one.
Yeah, that would be a great help if it would work, but we'd probably get a couple of footballs the first few days, and then we get a whole truckload about 4 months' time.
Well, it beats getting none at all.
Yeah.
That's a thought. The more I'm doing this, the more I'm thinking about starting some sort of program whereby big footy people can send a football somewhere. I figure even if you use a synthetic football for training purposes, they're fairly cheap, and there's no, like, we can get them for like $10-$15 here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that expensive.
Yeah, well, that's essentially how the program runs here with the footballs and equipment in general. Like, we get, often there will be a competition that maybe, like, we went to the Bali Nines competition. We took the Indonesian Garudas team to the Bali Nines a few months ago, and there was a team from Perth called Wembley, and they donated all their boots, a couple of balls, and a couple of other bits and pieces to the Garudas. So that's what, because the kids here are coming from varied backgrounds, so we're relying on donations to actually get them enough equipment, because everything we do here is run out of the pockets of the Bintang's players and donations. We don't charge for running clinics. Everything we do here is to promote the game, to have this program running so as many kids can play football as possible. And everything we do is off the back of all the hard work that the Bintangs and the Indonesian players do as well. As I said earlier, we've got Boy who's been running this program. He's been the only consistent person in the program for the last 5-6 years since it's been running. And me and him do all the work getting out to schools. And it's just, like, we had a game out in Chibubur a few weeks ago, and one of our kids turned up with no shoes, just because he doesn't have any boots. So we had to sort of, we've got a little kit here, so we had to try and find stuff that fit him. And he's a great player, but it's just because he comes from such a disadvantaged background, and often they can't come to training all the time because they've got work commitments or school commitments, so it gets difficult to know who's in what situation or how things are going outside of football.
But what role does, I'm given to understand, AusAid plays a part in the funding for what you do?
Yep. The role that AusAid play in the AAD program is essentially just the manpower of myself and Adam Norton, who is an administration and events planner who's been sort of running the sponsor, trying to get sponsorship and events up and running for, like, charity stuff. So essentially they just put in the manpower, and that's me and Adam.
Okay. If you wanted to become involved, if you're in Indonesia or whatever, and you wanted to become involved in the game, how would you go about that?
The easiest way would to become, depending on where you are, if you're in Borneo, Jakarta or Bali, it was just to go straight to those clubs. Jakarta Bintangs, they have a website. Borneo Bears have a website. We've got the AFL Indonesia Facebook page, and we're currently in the process of putting up the AFL Indonesia website. And that's the best way to get involved in footy in Indonesia. As for development, those clubs will be able to point you in the direction of the people that are doing it. Obviously, if you come to Jakarta, you'll be directed to me or Boy. And if you want to help or donate or even just spend some time coming out to a clinic or anything like that, the more the merrier, we say.
Okay, so what do you think the chance... I mean, I've read elsewhere that you're sending Indonesia will debut at the International Cup next year?
Yes, that's our aim. We've put all the paperwork into the AFL and all that kind of stuff. We are currently gearing up, trying to get everything in place to send a full squad to Melbourne next year to compete in the International Cup.
And how do you rate them?
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how we go. We've got a couple of games coming up against Jakarta, and we're trying to organise some games early next year. Honestly, the kids are very raw. Their enthusiasm is beyond belief for kids that haven't grown up with the sport. Their bravery borders on crazy. Like, they just will chase and throw themselves into contests with no regard for themselves, and that's just something that often takes a lot of time to get into actual Australian players. They're as quick as anything. If they get the ball and they get the space, you're never going to catch them. The issue we have is we're not very big. We've only got a couple of players that are over 6 foot. So we're struggling. We've got a very good ruckman, but he can't play all the time because he's found work. So without him, it's always going to be difficult. It's always going to be difficult when we play. On our day, we are very competitive. We will always sort of keep going and keep going. We've got a few leaders on the park, Boy, Yossi, Ibad, who are all been playing for quite a while, that will lead from the front. But as I said, we're very raw. Our skills are coming along. The game doesn't come naturally to them. It's still getting them to... There's often the basics that have fade away is that once they've kicked it, they've got to figure out what where they've got to go, not just stand there and watch how good they've kicked it. They've got to find their opponent. They've got to get into space in case the rebound, all that kind of stuff. And that's the stuff they're working towards.
Okay.
Going into Melbourne... Yep.
Yeah, no, keep going.
Going to Melbourne next year, the seedings, I'm assuming, will be quite challenging depending on who we come up against. I'm assuming we'll get put into Division 2 because we're debuting, and we're not up there with the teams that have been going for a while, like the United States and New Zealand and all those kind of guys. But against our neighbours, hopefully with teams like Cambodia, Laos, who have been talked about, have been going, we should be really competitive and we should give it a good whirl, like against India and all that kind of stuff. Mm. Really looking forward to actually seeing how well we go against them. The other thing is the full 20-minute games will be the full 20-minute quarters. Four quarters will be a bit of a challenge because we play modified stuff here because the grounds aren't really big enough. But we're changing everything now to accommodate that. So they're quick. Endurance is something they've got to work on, but hopefully by the time we get to Australia, we'll be fit and firing and to go.
Okay. How often do your clubs in Indonesia actually get to play matches?
The expat teams, Jakarta, they play four or five home and away games a year in the Asian, the Southeast Asian sort of league. The Indonesian team will play. We have monthly competitions that are for the Indonesian kids, and often some of the expats will come along and fill in a few roles and sort of like on-field leaders to help organise, sort of like training as you're playing kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The actual Indonesian team as a whole playing, we're trying to get it to happen more often. It just hasn't happened a lot. As I said, we went to Bali this year. We went to Bali last year, as far as I'm aware. In 2 weeks, we've organized an Indonesian team, the Indonesian Garudas versus Jakarta Bintangs, which we're going to try and do more often. So as a national team, we're trying to get more and more exposure to proper 20-minute quarters, full AFL games in preparation for it. But we've still got competitions for the younger guys happening once a month. Jakarta, they're not touring again until the start of next year, and they play four or five games a year.
Okay. I guess that's really the end of the questions that I have.
Yep.
Did you have anything you wanted to... What kind of future... what's up in the future for AFL in Indonesia?
I suppose the main focus at the moment is IC14. We're currently just sort of trying to get all our little hub areas together. That's one of the biggest issues we've always faced is we've got group in Jakarta, group in Bogor, group in Chulunsi, group in Borneo, few in Bali. It's very rare that we actually have them all together to play, so now we're looking at getting them all together more regularly. Training, developing skills, and that kind of stuff for our older guys for Australia. IC14 is our big goal at the moment. But as we get close to IC14, we're going to have to look post IC14 and keep this program going and really ride it. If we can get some exposure throughout Indonesia, throughout Australia, in the Indonesian communities in Australia, that would be fantastic. If we can get exposure in Indonesia, that would be even better, and just getting more and more people coming and going. It means that the development program can grow. It means that we can get more people down to trainings, to competitions. Just getting more and more people involved is what we're really looking at.
Okay. I've been talking to James Moore, the AFL Development Officer for Indonesia, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Jason.